Turn again to the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We'll read verses 30, 31, and 32. They departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we have Jesus' second announcement of his coming in. He's now left the north country and taken his first steps toward Jerusalem and the cross that awaits him there. Now he wants to be away from the crowds. As much as he can, he travels almost incognito, in secrecy. The purpose of his wanting to be away from the crowds is so he can be more effectively teaching his disciples the things that he has for them to know and to learn. Jesus knew that unless he could write his message upon the hearts of his disciples, that he would fail. This was one way he chose to perpetuate his ministry. Think about it. Jesus wrote no book to leave behind so people would know what he had to say. Many people have done this. Many people do it every day. People write books about what's happening in their lives and what they're doing in the world and what other people are doing, but not Jesus. We only have one record of his writing anything, and that's in the 8th chapter of John when he was in the temple and some people brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they asked Jesus what they should do with her. So Moses, they said she should be stoned. But they said, "What should we do?" And he bends over and he writes on the ground. And they continue to harass him. And he looks up and said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And he looked over and wrote on the ground again. That's the only record we have of Jesus writing anything. And whatever he wrote has long since been done away with. He wrote no books. He did not organize while he was here a group such as a club or a society, even the church, to carry on his work. I'm sure you've heard the old story that when Jesus returned to heaven, someone asked him what arrangements he'd made to continue his work in this world. And he said he'd chosen this group of men and he had taught them and given them the commission to go into all the world and make disciples. Then he was asked, what if these fail? What other plans had he made? What backup system did he have in place? And according to the story, as you remember, Jesus was supposed to have answered, "I made no other provisions. I left it all in their hands. And these followers of mine, it's up to them." So it was Jesus wanted to be away from the crowd to get his message across to disciples. He had to write his message upon their hearts so they would understand at least enough, not completely understand, but understand enough of what he had to say. It's one of the favorite words I've heard from Michael recently. They didn't get it. I don't think they ever got it all. I don't think we have yet, but get enough to spread the truth. And he taught. He taught about his betrayal. This is one thing different in this announcement as compared to the one in Mark 8:31. Jesus said the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. Jesus knew there was a traitor among his disciples. He could see the mind of Judas at work. With these words, he was not only announcing a fact and giving a warning, but he was making an appeal to Judas in whose heart was forming the purpose of betrayal. So he announced that he would be betrayed. And he taught about his death. He taught that he would be killed. Can you imagine that? We don't like to think about death and die. Many people have a fear of death, so they refuse to draw up a will, seeming to think that as long as they don't have a will drawn up, they'll live. And some of our family members begin to talk about their funeral arrangements. We are uncomfortable, and many times people say, "Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. You're not going to be going off for a long time. It's an unpleasant thing to talk about. Let's don't talk about that. But Jesus taught that he wouldn't just die, but he would be betrayed and killed. But he also taught about his coming resurrection. And this was the triumphant truth he tried to teach them about. But it was so far into their thinking that above all else, they couldn't grasp it. It was just more than they could understand. And they did not understand, and interestingly enough, they were afraid to ask any further questions. Why were they afraid to ask questions? Aren't you sometimes afraid to ask questions? William Barclay said they were like men who knew so much that they were afraid to know any more. A man might receive a verdict from a doctor. He might think that the general purport of the verdict was bad, but he might not understand all the details. And he might be afraid to ask for any more. He doesn't want more and more. I heard of one fellow that was having a serious operation in the morning. I think maybe it was bypass surgery, I'm not sure. And the doctor said, we've got a video of this. If you would like to watch it tonight, see what we're going to be doing tomorrow. And he said, I don't want to see anything else. Don't want to know any more. Just get on with it. And I think the disciples were like that. They didn't want to face what Jesus' death would mean. Also, they did not have any real idea at all about what he meant by resurrection. Marcus says again, sometimes we're amazed that the disciples did not grasp that which was so plainly spoken. The human mind has an amazing faculty for rejecting that which it does not wish to see. Are we so very different? Over and over again, we've heard the Christian message. We know the glory of accepting it. We know the tragedy of rejecting it. But there are many of us just as far off as ever we were from giving our all full allegiance and accepting the gospel and living it out. Allowing our lives to be molded to fit the gospel. Men still accept the parts of the Christian message which they like and which suit them, and refuse to understand or seek after the rest. In a similar manner, Halford Lockett said, the confusion of the disciples can even more readily be understood if we let our thoughts rest on the difficulties which Jesus, later disciples, the church through the years and today have had in accepting a crucified Lord instead of a conquering king. It'd be so much easier to accept a conquering king than a crucified Lord, wouldn't it? He said, consider how reluctant millions in the modern world are to accept the cross of Jesus as the supreme revelation of God. Other conceptions and idealizations fit so much better into our onward and upward thought forms. The serene teacher of Galilee, the persuasive expounder of wise and helpful axioms of living, even the Jesus of Palm Sunday, acclaimed and honored, is so much simpler. More attractive, more congenial to our culture, to our reliance on education, to our disparagement of extremes. Many prefer an intelligent, reasonable Jesus, an inspiring example, the counterpart of the broad-minded liberal, a leader of all good causes. They too find it hard to understand the saying about crucifixion and death, and because so many do not understand it, the Christian faith, instead of being conceived and presented to the world as God's act of redemption, has dwindled down into another set of moral maxims, impotent to face and subdue the tragic evils of life and history. When we think of the gospel in any such fashion as that, we make a detour around the cross and so miss the way. Luckett went on to say, like the disciples, many have been afraid to ask more explicitly the meaning of Calvary, afraid because of what the answer might be, that they might get in too deep. For the answer includes an acceptance of the cross as the law of life. It includes the immoderate extreme of laying down life as a sacrifice, of giving mind and heart, time and strength to the redemption of others. They were afraid to ask Him then. Are we afraid to ask Him now? Are we afraid to ask hard questions because we're afraid of the answers? Do we accept the parts of the Christian message we like and refuse to consider the rest? Do we really accept the cross and the death of Jesus as a supreme revelation of God? Or do we not like the blood and gore and try to detour around the cross and miss the way? I don't even remember who it was. Last Sunday morning in Sunday school, there was some man in our class that he didn't like Holy Week. He didn't like the suffering and the bleeding and the dying and the death and the gore of it all. He didn't like that. A lot of us are like that. We like to go from Palm Sunday to Easter and just skip all of this other. I was talking with my sister-in-law a week ago yesterday. She sings in the choir at her church. And she said the previous Sunday, on Palm Sunday evening, they had the Easter cantata. I said, that's not right. That's not right. You can't have Easter unless you come through Good Friday. It's not right. I know on Good Friday evening, Winnedale and I left home to go down to Lakewood Church for a Good Friday service there. We just gotten in the car and started off, and the radio was on, and the choir was singing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. And something, that's not right. You don't sing Christ the Lord is risen on Good Friday. You've got to go through Good Friday to get to Easter Day. We need to hear Wesley's great hymn, O love divine, what hast thou done? The incarnate God has died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sin upon the tree. The Son of God for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified. Is crucified for me and you to bring us rebels near to God. Believe the record true. You all are bought with Jesus' blood. Pardon for all flows from His side. My Lord, my love is crucified. Behold Him, all ye that pass by. The breathing Prince of life and peace. Come sinners, see your Savior die. And say, was ever grief like His? Come feel with me. His blood applied. My Lord, my love is crucified. And only after we've gone through Good Friday can we come to Easter Day. Or at this distant time, we like to believe we understand a little more about the resurrection than did the disciples. However, again, we need to recognize that we reach the glory of Easter Day only by the way of the cross. Only by the way of Good Friday. We might like to believe that heaven awaits us, but without our taking up our cross and following Jesus, there is no heaven for us and no crown. Jesus said, whoever would be my disciple, let him deny themselves, take up the cross and follow me. If we do not bear the cross and follow Him, there is no crown of glory for us. So we need to face our mortality, face our cross, face our Lord, and pick up our cross and follow Him. Understand what we would have you to do. Take up your cross. Follow Him. This is the way of and to life. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the cross. We thank You that You loved us so much that You went all the way to Calvary and laid down Your life for us. For me, the Prince of Glory died. Praise be to God. We thank You. Help us to be wise enough to take up our cross and follow You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.